Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 126th Psalm, Psalm 126. And if yours is a Scofield Bible, you'll find that on page 663. Psalm 127, we'll read all six verses. We'll read the verses responsively, with special attention given to verses 5 and 6, the text verses for this morning's message. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. And Father, you've given us a good day. From the standpoint of weather, it's a lovely day. From the standpoint of this gathering for how many times now, how many years, it's a lovely, lovely gathering of thy people. Thank you for this crowd. Thank you for this occasion when your word is once again preached. How we've enjoyed the singing, yes, the laughter, our fellowship. Give us a sweet concentration now upon thy word. Bless the hearing of it, the preaching of it. O Holy Spirit, meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, now we come to the thing that everything else evolves around. The time when the book is opened and explained and preached. The time when a holy hush settles across the audience for a moment. As we speak of things eternal and do our best to gain strength to face another week, speak to our hearts in a wonderfully sweet way today, and do thou work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody sit up straight, look right this way. I'm preaching this morning on God's recipe book. This book is called the Bible, but actually it's a book of recipes, and every one always turns out right. You'll never have a cake fall if you follow God's recipe. Always turns out right. You do it exactly as God says it, and you'll never have anything turn out wrong, because this is God's recipe book. We read a while ago. By the way, let me say this. The Christian life is so simple. We make the Christian life seem so complicated. You heard me say this many times, but books for sale in every so-called Christian bookstore, if there is such a thing. Every book's for sale. And on 17 ways to live a victorious life. Fully on that. I tell you one way. Crucify yourself. That's all. Be crucified. But I mean, listen carefully now. Right this way. Everybody, right this way. Right this way. Preaching time. It's time to hear God speak and hear God's word. The Christian life is far simpler than we make it. This morning I want to talk to you on the subject, God's recipe book. We read a while ago, we need not turn to it again. It says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, that word doubtless is the word I want you to notice. The word doubtless. He that goeth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. What's that? That's the word of God. So if you'll go soul winning and have a burden as you go and cast the seed, the Word of God, use it, the Bible says you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Now, that word doubtless is an interesting word. The word means altogether. It means if all these three things are done in the proper order, he that goeth and weepeth, and takes the Word of God and uses it, Word of God is not a weapon to observe and to study. It's a weapon to use. And he that doeth these three things, the Bible says, all these together will always turn out like this. Like what? You'll come again bringing your sheaves with you. You see, the individual part of the recipe may taste bad. Going may not be fun by itself. Weeping may not be fun by itself. Bearing precious seed may not be fun by itself. But going and weeping and bearing precious seed will make you come again with rejoicing. Now, this is God's recipe book, and I want to talk to you about some of the recipes picked up out of God's book this morning. The first recipe I want to talk to you about is the salvation recipe. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's God's recipe for salvation. Nothing in there about communion. Nothing in there about the sacraments. Nothing in there about confirmation. Nothing in there about the Holy Father. Nothing in there about confession. Nothing in there about joining the church. Nothing in there about good works. Verily, verily. And what that word verily, verily means? Amen. Jesus said, Amen! Amen! I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's number one, and believeth on him that sent me, number two. What does he have? He has everlasting life. Not will have it someday, but has it now. I am as saved today as John the Baptist is. I am as sure for heaven today as the Apostle Paul is. Why? Because I have heard this book and believed on him that sent him, and I have now, today, everlasting life. And you can have it too, if you'll follow God's recipe. And then it says, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. What does it mean? The word condemnation is also in the Bible the word judgment. You will never have to stand judgment for your sins. Why? Because 2,000 years ago on the cross, the Savior stood judgment for your sins. And your sins have been judged, condemned, and paid for in full. And God said, you'll never come into judgment. You'll never come to condemnation, but already now are passed from death unto life. Now, everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. Heard a fellow stand right over here one day. He said to me, I don't believe in all this pie-in-the-sky Christianity you preach about. And a very refined fellow and a man of some means. I expect he's worth $100 or more. And he stood over there. I don't believe in all this pie-in-the-sky religion you preach. And I said, but don't you wish you could? And tears began to stream down his cheeks. And he said, if I could believe there were a heaven, and I could believe I could go there and live forever, I'd be the happiest man in the world. And I said, my brother, there is a heaven, and you can go there. And whenever you get it, you will be the happiest man in the world. But that's God's recipe. God's recipe is amen, amen. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now, have you done it? Have you done it? Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, I tell you what, I was confirmed when I was 12. You may confirm you're 12 and 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and I can count higher than that. But you may confirm all you want to, but the Bible does not say he that heareth my word and gets confirmed hath everlasting life. It does not say he that believeth and heareth my word and joins a church or takes communion. And I'm not against those things, but I'll tell you, it says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. You don't get saved by working, you get saved by believing. That's God's recipe. It'll work this morning. Always works. I can recall my old preacher used to say when I was a boy, I used to sit as a little kid out there, I used to hear that big old 6'4" bony-fingered guy point out there across that pulpit, and he'd say, if you come down this aisle and you trust Jesus as your Savior this morning, and he doesn't save you, I'll never preach another sermon as long as I live. I worried about that. I was afraid somebody come down the aisle and, did you turn me down up there? If you did, tell me where I was. If you've been fiddling with that, don't fiddle. Unfiddle with that. But anyway, he's pointing his finger and say, if you trust Jesus and he doesn't save you, I'll never preach another sermon all my life. And I used to be scared about that. I'll say it right now. If you sincerely this morning give your heart to Jesus Christ and believe on him as your Savior, if he doesn't save your soul, I'll never preach another sermon as long as I live. But he will! You can count on it. That's God's recipe. It always works. Second recipe I want to call your attention this morning is not only the recipe of salvation. I want to call to your attention the recipe of success. Success. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Five things. He should be like, then it says, he should be like a tree planted by the river of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See what it said? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's a way that everything you do can prosper. See what it said? What is that way? Blessed is the man first that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Get out of the wrong crowd. Get out of the wrong crowd. Quit running with the unsaved people. Quit socializing with the liberals. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Quit criticizing. Quit gossiping. Quit listening to it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. All right, don't hang around with sinners. Don't walk with them. Don't hang around them. And don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Enjoy this book more than you enjoy the soap operas. Enjoy this book more than you enjoy the primetime TV. Enjoy this book more than you enjoy the World Series. Enjoy this book more than you enjoy football. Enjoy this book more than you enjoy the Chicago Bears. Enjoy this book more than you enjoy the Cubs winning the Eastern Division of the National League. My Bible said, delights himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now God says those five things will bring what? Prosperity. Success. Now it's God's recipe. Well, Brother Hiles, I did all those five things and things didn't turn out right for me. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. You're not the one that defines prosperity. But you hear me now. Listen. If you want Almighty God to cause everything you do to prosper, you do these five things, and God's recipes always work. I was preaching, I was down in Dallas this week, Thursday and Friday, for a wedding of Mrs. Howes' granddaughter. I'm praying, join me in prayer that you'll never have any children. I don't want to be married to a great-grandmother. But after the wedding was over, a fellow walked up to me and said, do you remember me? And I said, I know you, but don't remember you. Then he told me, this is the guy you heard me tell about. He lived in Normal, Illinois. He owned a stove company. He was worth $3.1 million, almost as much as Hammond Times thinks I'm worth. And $3.1 million he was worth. He lost it in about a month. All of it. Went bankrupt. Lost $3.1 million. He went down to the Bill Rice Ranch. I was preaching down there. I preached my sermon on you can fail and not be a failure. That sermon starts off saying, God needed something done. Number two, God made you to do it. Number three, God needed somebody just like you. Number four, you are somebody. Number five, God made you to succeed. Number six, in teaching you how to succeed, God used failure to teach you how to succeed. And I said, failing plus failing plus failing plus failing plus failing equals failure. Or failing plus 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 failing equals success. It's up to you. Success is just is a little farther down the road called failure or failing. That's the way I learned to ride a bicycle. I failed and 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 I learned how to ride a bicycle. And you did the same thing. That man was down there, had just lost his $3.1 million. He heard me preach that sermon, you can fail, not be a failure. He borrowed the sermon. He got him a talk up on the subject, how to lose $3.1 million in a month. All across the country, invitations came. And the guy made over $3.1 million making that speech.
look, God wants you to succeed. But now, wait a minute. Hold it. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's going to curl your hair or wrinkle your scalp. One or the other. Listen carefully. In my case, a little of both. Those of you who are preachers know this. Now, I'm talking about success now. Not as you count success, but as God counts success. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What? It's God's recipe. Don't walk with the ungodly. Stand with sinners. Sit in the seat of the scornful. But delight in the word of God. Meditate therein day and night. And whatsoever you do will prosper. Illustration. Don't miss it. Anybody that... Okay, let me go back here. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is famous in America. The most famous preacher who's not living. You know why he's famous? He's famous because somebody took his sermons that he preached in the pulpit of the Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And every sermon he preached in Spurgeon's Tabernacle is in print. I mean, volume after volume after 38 volumes or so, maybe more, in print. Because of that, more preachers read Spurgeon than any other 10 former preachers in the world. Now get this. You do know that Brother Hiles has lived for the next generation. Anybody that knows me knows that I've given my life trying to do what I can to save this country and to help the next generation. When this stinking battle came back yonder in May, in which I've been, maybe you've heard about it. When it came, the thing that hurt me the most was I wanted my ministry to live after I'm gone. And I wanted to be remembered as a faithful preacher of the gospel, not as some kind of a controversial crook. And that's the thing that hurt me the most. Now, wait a minute. Got a long-distance call the other day. Man said, my name is so-and-so. I know him. I know him a little bit, not well. Just barely know him. Dr. Rice knew him well. Very wealthy man. Multimillionaire. Business brought in $25 million last year. He said, Dr. Hiles, you remember me? I said, I remember your name. I think I'd know you if I saw you. That's all. He said, I kept hearing all this garbage about you. And he said, one thing that bothered me was that your critics said that you were preaching heresy. So I decided to find out. He said, I ordered 2 years of your tapes. And for 2 months, I listened to 4 of your sermons a day. Get this. With my pen out and paper in front of me to write down all the heresy I could find. After hearing 4 sermons a day, now this is a man that's a multimillionaire. He took time to hear 4 sermons a day. That's 8 hours. Boy, you visitors sure let you... countless down then, didn't you? He said, Dr. Hiles, after hearing 4 of your sermons a day for 2 months, hear me now, hear me now, he said, I have not written down one thing yet. He said, you're doctrinally as sound as a man can be. Now, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Get this. He said, I am going to finance, if you'll let me, the publishing in book form of every sermon you preached at First Baptist Church. He said, it'll cost me $250,000. But he said, you are the Spurgeon of this generation, and I am going to let the next generation know about it. Now, wait a minute. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have faced this battle. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river waters that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And right this minute, we're preparing the tapes to send to him. It'll be called the Hammond First Baptist Church pulpit, and volume after volume after volume will be out in a few months, maybe a year or two. And just like Spurgeon's sermons have been preserved for the next generation, every sermon I preach behind this pulpit for the last almost quarter of a century be preserved for the next generation. I'm simply saying, God knows what He's talking about. And it would never have happened if we hadn't had the battle. I can't always understand it, but bless God, God always keeps His word. God's recipe, salvation. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. God's recipe for success. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but love this book and delight in it day and night. And God said, whatsoever you do shall prosper. But you say, I tried and can't see how I'm prospering. I couldn't either for 6 months. Now then, God, in a marvelously sweet way, has announced vindication. The next generation will read my sermons far more than they would ever have read them if I hadn't have had the battle and had the trouble. God's recipe book never fails. His recipe for salvation. His recipe for success. And then, of course, that recipe for soul winning. He that goeth forth. I didn't say he that's educated and goeth forth. Said he that goeth forth. Didn't say he that's intelligent and goeth forth. He that goeth forth. Didn't say he that hath a personality of charisma goeth forth. He that goeth forth. Didn't say he that's well trained that goeth forth. No, says he that goeth forth. That means a muskie that goeth forth. That means a sinner that goeth forth. That means an uneducated person that goeth forth. That means a common man that goeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, no doubt about it, he'll get people saved. It's God's recipe. I hasten. There's a fourth recipe I'd like to call to your attention. The recipe of saving a nation. You know it. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, I want to say what I've said before. Don't you go to the homosexual crowd and work on them to try to save America. You can get them all straight, and that won't save America. Don't you worry about going to the abortion crowd and getting them all right to save America. You can stop abortion in America, but that won't save America. Don't you worry about going to the dope crowd, the narcotic crowd, trying to save America. Get them all straight, that won't save America. Don't you go to the liquor crowd, try to save America, get them all sober, that won't save America. America be saved when people like you in this room this morning humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. God said, there's no doubt about it, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. It's up to us. Up to us. All America's going to the devil. Liquor flowing like a river. But that's not what's causing it to go to the devil. What's causing America to go to the devil is these Christians don't come back to church on Sunday night. What's causing America to go to the devil is these Christians never darken the door of church on Wednesday night. What's causing America to go to the devil is these Christian people got God's money in your pocket right now. You've robbed God of the tithe. What's causing America to go to the devil is Christian people watching the heathen television programs on prime time. What's causing America to go to the devil is God's people. If God's people, it'll always work. Will humble themselves, pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. Then God said, I will. Didn't say I might, didn't say I may, didn't say I could. He said, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Another recipe. Always works. Salvation. Success. Soul winning, saving a nation, satisfaction. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, canceled your appointment with the shrink. Lay down on your own couch. Buy you a home instead. You didn't get that one, did you? Buy you a house with the money you would have spent on the shrink. I'll draw you a picture. I'll write you a letter if you'd like and send it to you. Now you listen to me. This whole country is searching for one thing, and that one thing is peace of mind, and nobody seems to have. Why? Because we've not used God's recipe. God's recipe, as I said last Sunday morning, take my yoke upon you. Come unto me, you'll find rest. Take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? Get to work for God. These dear bus workers. Got up this morning at 4 o'clock. Went to ghetto areas picking up poor people, bringing them to church. And they'll go while you're eating lunch. They'll be delivering those people back home. They'll get back here barely in time to stagger worn out into the service tonight. Some of them will even drive a bus back tonight and then after the service go deliver those people back home after the service tonight. I guarantee you one thing. The happiest people tonight at 10 o'clock will not be the people sitting at McDonald's. It'll be the people coming back after all day taking His yoke upon them. That's the way you find rest under your souls. And there's so many other things. Good night. I could take you through the whole Bible. How about the presence of God? Jesus' presence. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Are you listening to me? No talking, please. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And then what's the next line? Lo, I am with you always. Jesus said, I'm with the soul winner. That's God's recipe. How about Proverbs 3:5? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Acknowledge Him in everything. He'll direct your path. You'll know God's will. Or how about Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or how about Psalm 119, 165? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. You want to know how to get not to be offended anymore? It's in the Bible. How about John 15:7? You abide in me, and let my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be given you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is guaranteed life right here. Guaranteed. God's great, marvelous, wonderful, never-changing, always-succeeding recipe book right here. Now I'm asking a question. Do you know you're saved? Is your name written in heaven? Do you have eternal everlasting life? Will you not come into judgment? Have you passed from death unto life? Now, if you've done anything to do that other than hearing His Word and believing on Him, then you don't have it. You don't put chocolate all in the cake recipe and come out with an angel food cake. You don't put banana in a cake and come out with a pineapple upside down cake. Years ago, we first got married, my wife cooked a cake and it fell and it was upside down. She threw it on the floor. After she threw that on the floor, she threw all the dishes on the floor, all the pots and pans on the floor, and then she picked up me. But anyway, I'm saying God's recipes never fail. Why don't you try them? Quit trusting the fellow wears a gown to save your soul and trust the fellow that wears a crown to save your soul. Quit trusting the church. Trust the Savior. Quit trusting your Holy Eucharist. How about the Holy Spirit? God's recipe. Have you heard this word and believed on Him? That's it. You say, couldn't be that easy. You make it too easy. I didn't make it. He made it. I'm announcing it. God's recipe. You want success? Prosperity? I didn't say you'd sell 50 insurance policies tomorrow. I'm saying in the end you'll prosper. As God sees prosperity. Then don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Delight in this book and meditate in it day and night. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. You want to win souls to Christ? Go, weep, bear the word of God. You doubt this will come back. I won't kill myself on this microphone. Or I lost two teeth on it. God's recipe. Why in the world don't we believe God? This book has the answer. I see signs sometimes. Christ is the answer. I like that, we should go farther. I'd just like to say this book is the answer, because this book is about Christ. And more than the answer just to salvation, it's the answer to success. It's the answer to prosperity. It's the answer to soul winning. It's the answer to peace. It's the answer to the will of knowing the will of God. It's the answer to provision. It's God's recipe book. It'll always work. Try it. Now let me come to the close. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you heard the word and believed on Him? Relied upon Him. That's what it means. Have you just relied upon Him? You say, preacher, is it that simple? Listen, these people that like to criticize us and call us preaching easy believism. I wish you'd listen to me now. Somebody behind you might want to listen. They say, Hiles preaches easy believism. What do they preach? Hard believism? Listen, more people, hear me now, more people will burn in the fires of hell because they tried to do too much to get saved than folks who didn't try to do a little to get saved. Naaman said, let me choose the beautiful river of Abana of Afar. Look at all this gold and silver and raiment I brought to you, man of God. Elisha said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. He said, it can't be that simple. He said, I'm not going to do it. Elisha said, go home with your leprosy. He went and washed in Jordan 7 times, and God made his skin as soft as a baby's skin. And God will make your sins as white as snow if you'll do what He said. In just a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. All over this great crowd of people, this sea of faces this morning, there are dozens of people who are trusting everything but the one who's supposed to be trusted for your salvation. You just say, cast aside your trusting the denomination, and cast aside your trusting the baptism, and cast aside your trusting the preacher, and cast aside your trusting the Pope, and cast aside your trusting the sacrament. And you look for one time in your life in the face of Jesus and say, dear Jesus, I have heard your word this morning, and I'm believing on you as my Savior, and I'm accepting your gift of life eternal. And blessed God, you walk down this aisle and let us tell the people that you just did it, and your name will be in heaven, and you will have everlasting life, and you shall not come into condemnation, but you are already passed from death unto life. As soon as we stand, run down the aisle. Make a break for it. Be the first one down here. Let people know that you're accepting God's wonderful gift of life eternal and trusting His recipe, which always turns out right. Shall we stand, please? The choir.